Calling to order the April 8th, 2022 meeting of the Orange County Senior Citizens Advisory Council. This meeting is being recorded. And again, if everyone could please mute, we are still getting some background noise. We will begin our meeting with inspiration by Crystal Miles, and then Sandy Stang will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. So if everybody except for Sandy and Crystal could please mute.
Hi, good morning. Thank you. Okay, well, so I had a hard time trying to figure out an inspiration or devotion. So I went ahead and thought, well, considering that we are a Senior Citizens Advisory Committee and April happens to be Parkinson's Awareness Month, and April 11th is actually World Parkinson's Day. So I thought I would give a little background information and a couple quotes from some individuals who I'm sure we all recognize. So Parkinson's Awareness Month is observed in April. This is an opportunity to increase awareness about the ailment and its symptoms, as well as to support victims. And there are many platforms online, links that you can go to. And even though there's no cure, the Parkinson's awareness is more about bringing this awareness and hopefully raising funds and whatnot to figure out a cure for Parkinson's. It's a long-term disorder where central nervous system degenerates, and that affects the motor system. Motor symptoms like trembling and stiffness and rigidity are usually associated with Parkinson's disease, and symptoms typically occur slowly. One side is often affected first, but as Parkinson's disease progresses, both sides are affected, meaning at first it's just the individual, but then as it progresses and your family members and loved ones watch you go through this degenerative disease, that affects the other side of the family as well. And celebrities such as Muhammad Ali and Michael J. Fox were both diagnosed with Parkinson's. And so I don't know if you know why we you know, how it came up with Parkinson's was the name. So the Parkinson's Foundation has a weekly informative podcast. And as we saw from a couple meetings ago, that PEPS, which is that Parkinson's exercise program, they found that aerobic activity is very good in stimulating the nervous system for the motor pathway. And I don't know if you realize, but Parkinson's was named after James Parkinson. He was the London physician who published an essay on the shaking palsy in 1817. So he was the first physician to actually describe Parkinson's disease. And the red tulip is the symbol of Parkinson's disease awareness. And a purple ribbon is chosen as the color to wear in support of people with the disease. And Michael J. Fox gave a very, I think, insightful quote. It says, live in the moment, enjoy the day, make the most of what you have, and don't imagine the worst. If you imagine the worst, it happens, and then you live it twice. So for those fighting with Parkinson's, having to live through having Parkinson's, or the ultimate realization that they will end up with Parkinson's, don't imagine the worst, because then not only will you have to imagine it, but you'll live through it as well. So that was it.
Hey, Sandy, could you please lead us in the pledge? And Jenna, could you please put the flag on the screen?
And could everyone please rise if they're able to?
Honey, your battery is dying.
Mine is.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Denise, please mute.
Sorry, thank you.
Everyone's please risen, and we'll place your right hand on your heart. And ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Hey, thank you both. Now we will, Secretary Elizabeth Busick will take roll. If everybody could unmute so we don't have that delay, and then after you've responded, you can go back and mute. So Elizabeth, take it away.
All right. Charlene.
Present. Ashton. Present.
Linda Barcelona.
Present.
Denise Barnes.
Present.
Elizabeth Busick, present. Amelia Castro.
Present.
Meredith Chalimi.
Present.
Susan Doback.
Present.
Carol Downey.
Present.
Elaine Genoway.
Present.
Jean Hernandez.
He's absent.
Carolyn Inman.
Present.
Jim Levy.
Present.
Nalita Mendoza. Nalita Mendoza, absent. Okay. Crystal Miles.
Present.
Carol Moore. Carol Moore, absent. Patty Mouton.
She's absent.
Joni Nichols.
Present.
John Pointer.
He's absent.
Tony Rodella.
Wow.
Amina St. Matthews.
Present.
Barbara Sloat, absent, right? Sandy Stang.
Present.
Dave Sullivan.
Present.
Dave Tetzloff.
Present.
Cynthia Thacker.
Here.
Jeffrey Rodriguez. Evelyn Velez. Evelyn, I know you're here.
I don't see her.
Well, she was at the earlier meeting.
She may have signed off then.
Uh-huh. Okay, I'll mark her absent. We have a quorum.
Okay, thank you, Elizabeth.
You're welcome.
Okay, now on to our agenda items. If there's no objection, I will move items under number 5, the action items, down on the agenda to after public comments. So are there any objections to doing that? Seeing none, we'll make that adjustment today. today's order of items in the meeting. Introductions. Well, we have lots of special people here today. I see we have our members and some of our standing committee members. But and as far as the rest of the introductions, I will leave that to Meredith. And Meredith can introduce our speaker, and we'll move on to item number 7, our presentation.
Thank you, Elaine, and good morning again, everyone. It is my pleasure to introduce our speaker. She's going to be talking to us about the volunteer impacts and opportunities at the Council on Aging. Her name is Jamie Kanzler. And just a little bit about Jamie. She joined the council with over 30 years experience in business and nonprofit management and has supported the success and growth of each organization she worked at. And some of those include the AIDS Project Los Angeles, the National Multiple Sclerosis Society, and PBS SoCal. As the Council on Aging's Director of Development and Community Outreach, Jamie is responsible for implementing development strategies to increase their financial support from key stakeholders, individuals, foundations, and corporations. She attended Cal State Poly Pomona, where she majored in behavioral science. We're very pleased, Jamie, to welcome you to SCAC today, and we are looking forward so much to hearing about volunteer opportunities at the Council on Aging.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here. It's always a joy to get to see the community members who support the activities happening in Orange County. And so I'm just delighted by how many smiling faces and enthusiastic people are here this early in the morning. This is really, really good. It's great. So do you want me to just go ahead and go into the presentation?
Yes, please. And if you would like to share your screen, you can do that.
I will. I didn't get to see the agenda. So I just wanted to make sure that I'm good to go here. Be just a second while we go into the view that will make it more interesting for everybody. Let's get it to do it. Oh, what happened? Oh, here it comes. Okay, great. All right, there we go. So what I'm going to actually do for you today, can everyone see the screen? I just want to make sure you're all seeing the slide screen. Let's make sure we get the right one going here. Sorry. There we go. Perfect. So based upon this, I'm going to give you what I like to call a taste of the Council on Aging Southern California. There's so much to cover. There's so many different volunteer opportunities. And I just want to make sure that as I whip through these, you, if you have questions, you can certainly ask them, or at the end of the presentation, you can ask them. And also, we have specific program coordinators, volunteer coordinators that have greater depth of information. So if one of these opportunities piques your interest or other groups that you belong with that you mention us to them, then they can have that conversation and get even more deeply involved in the opportunities that we have here. So the Council on Aging Southern California is a 501c3. We were formed in 1973. Shockingly, we've been around 49 years and not everybody knows about us or our program. So having opportunities like this is wonderful because we hope to get the word out. So our mission really is to promote the independence, health, and dignity of adults through compassion, education, and advocacy. And it was started by community members similar to yourselves. These were a group of women and men who really felt the need that someone needed to step up and form a way to help the aging process or help individuals navigate the aging process. So where we're very proud of our nonprofit is that for every dollar that we receive, 88 cents of every dollar is directly spent on our programs and services. We are funded by individuals, by businesses, by county, state, and federal grants. And what I'm most proud of is our volunteers. We have 83 staff members, half of whom are part-time, half of whom are full-time. But we have over 500 volunteers. And they really are the backbone and the lifeblood of what we do as a nonprofit organization. Our corporate office is located right here in Irvine. We're right on Main Street off of Red Hill and MacArthur. You can certainly find us. We're on Executive Circle right there. We also have a small office in Rancho Cucamonga. We have a even smaller office in Hemet, and then a teeny tiny basic closet in Palm Desert, but they still do all the programs and services we're talking about. We serve a 5-county area. So we serve Orange County, Riverside, San Bernardino, and the two little counties up in the mountains, Inyo and Mono counties. And the fun thing about that is that in the Inland Empire, we offer three of our programs, but Orange County does have the majority of our 8 programs that we offer. And here they are at a glance. Yes, it's a little overwhelming, but it breaks down into 3 key areas: advocacy and protection, socialization and wellness, education and outreach. And I'm going to walk us quickly through all of these and let you know the information regarding them. All of our programs and services are free to the community, except for one social enterprise fee for service, which is our concierge care navigators. And I'll explain that to you a little bit more when we get there. Ombudsman. Everybody wants to know, what is the definition of an ombudsman? What does that mean? Well, basically an ombudsman is an advocate, and we advocate for residents that are in long-term care facilities. These could be smaller 6-8 bed boarding cares that are nestled into residential communities and no one would really know they were there. Or we're talking about larger facilities like skilled nursing facilities or RCFEs that have more beds. And what our advocates are, literally are the eyes and ears for those in long-term care. There are over 1,500 facilities in Orange County and Riverside County when you put together. Over 1,000 of them are just here in Orange County. Unfortunately, 50% of the residents in these facilities can experience some form of dementia. also over half will have no friend or family member still actively involved in their care. So through the Ombudsman Program, we make weekly, bi-weekly, once a month visits to these facilities with our state licensed volunteers and staff. So in the program, we have volunteers. They go through a wonderful training. It's about 35 hours of training that they'll go through. They have a mentoring ride-along program as you get to the end of the program. And then you do have to take a state exam, state certification, but you're usually assigned some of the facilities in your local geographic area. So if you're someone who doesn't want to drive far in your volunteer experience, you could have some of those facilities probably within a 10-mile radius of where you live, which makes it much easier. If you're someone who loves to drive, then we can accommodate that for you as well. The trainings are offered now due to COVID when it hit. We can do trainings both online and in person. We were hit hard with COVID-19, as you all are aware. The long-term care facilities were the first hit and hit hardest, really, in the beginning of the pandemic. And from that, our advocates did their best to stay in touch, to be able to be in communication, whether it was standing outside the facilities, calling people, setting up weekly conversations to be able to have with them. But the real benefit of the Ombudsman is in the fact that they go into these facilities and they build a rapport with the residents. We're there for the residents. We're not there for the facility administrators. We're not even there necessarily for the family members of the residents. In case there's friction or problem, we have clear boundaries on how involved we can be as an ombudsman, but we are very clear that we're here to make sure the resident councils take place, that family councils are able to happen, that we can report and investigate any claims that come forward. They could be mild, such as, you know, the food's never warm when it's served to us, or it can be more devastating claims like someone is attacking me, or I'm being abused in some way, or they're stealing my assets and my money. So last year alone, our ombudsman in Orange County investigated over 1,200 claims. And so it's very, very vital that this program is available, and it's vital for us to have volunteers. So if this is something that pulls on your heartstrings or you think you'd like to be involved, we would love to have you join our ombudsman program. Then we have our Health Insurance Counseling and Advocacy Program, better known as HICAP, which no one knows what that acronym is for, but I've now just told you. And in simple terms, it's Medicare counseling. Why they didn't name it that? Who knows? It's very interesting. But our HICAP counselors really help piece together that Medicare puzzle. For many of us heading into, or we are in the middle of Medicare benefits and receiving what that is, it can be mind-boggling. The terminology can throw you for a loop. You don't know what is A, B, C, there's a G, there's an H, there's an N, there's an M. How many plans are there? Well, with Advantage plans even, if you're just talking about Orange County, there's over 46 Medicare Advantage plans. There's over 23 prescription drug plans. So this can be so overwhelming to an individual or someone who's caring for someone that's on Medicare. So what we're able to do is provide free individualized counseling to Medicare beneficiaries and their families. We help them understand what the drug and health plan options are for them that make sense to them. So we will ask them, what is your current medication? What is your financial situation? What county do you live in? Medicare Advantage plans are county specific. So you need to make sure that you're talking to someone who has that information and can provide it to you. We are the only unbiased provider of information to you. We don't enroll you. We don't receive any funding from any of those health plans out there. It's part of our ability to be so unbiased. It makes my job a little harder as the director of development, but we would rather serve the community better by being unbiased and being able to say, all right, out of all these plans, based upon your situation, here's five plans that really make sense. You still need to do your own due diligence. You'll still look it up, or you can take that information to your own insurance broker. If you're more comfortable doing that, they'll help you cull it down to the one that makes sense for you. And so based upon that, we're really delighted to be able to educate clients to understanding the drug and health plan options. Many people don't realize that if it's your first time signing up for Medicare, you have to do it 3 months before or 3 months after turning 65, or there can be a lifetime penalty placed on your premium costs. So if, you know, if younger individuals, 35 to 65, are listening to this in any way, shape, or form, if you take away nothing, keep that in mind so you make sure you don't get dinged in any way. Then every year, you come up for open enrollment, similar to what you did if you were still receiving benefits through your employer. But what's important is if you don't want to change anything and it makes no sense to change anything, great. But you still should meet with a counselor to make sure there aren't hidden changes in that plan. Sometimes they send you a booklet 400 pages long and you can get bogged down in that. So just to give you an example, we had more limited activities. We still have our call center. People can talk to our HICAP counselors between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. We also have in-person counseling that we normally do. We're just starting to get back to that due to COVID. And then also we are in all 93 senior centers in Orange County and Social Security offices. Our volunteers are out there. Again, these volunteers are highly trained and are state licensed and certified. But as I said, at a glance, just in 2021 in Orange County, we served over 10,000 clients. We saved the clients an estimated $787,000 in premium and prescription drug costs because your formulary can change. So maybe you're paying right now $6 for your medication, but when the new calendar year rolls around, suddenly you're paying $60 for that same medication. So please do look at your prescription drug formularies. We also did outreach through online, virtual, educational, drive-through health fairs were happening, which was a lot of fun. So we reached over 12,000 individuals with that. And as you can see, we were really tighter in 2020 with COVID. But again, we are here to serve and we really hope people will take advantage of it. So if this entices you as a volunteer, these are trained state licensed counselors. Again, it takes about 30 hours of classroom training, both online is now available. And then you participate in a 15-hour internship with a HICAP mentor so that you're not ever in any of these volunteer opportunities flung out there after training and expected to handle deep questions or issues. We have staff that are available to work with our volunteers one-on-one, and then we have wonderful volunteers. The average length of service for our HICAP volunteers is 8 years. That's the average that they stay with us. We have rocket scientists that have retired and then joined us as volunteers. We have teachers, we have lawyers, we have accountants. Really the gamut of any background can enjoy being a HICAP volunteer. And we'd love to have you join us in that capacity as well. Another area that rapidly became aware that we had to protect people was in our senior protection and what we call our FAST program. But in senior protection, this is now a $1 billion industry where people scam. I am quite sure any one of you could fill me in on scams you've been exposed to, whether it was your utilities are about to be turned off, so wire us this money right away, or the IRS. I love that one. The one where they, you know, they call you to chat and say that, you know, you're under a lawsuit by the IRS. I can tell you quite clearly, they will never call you. They will send you any mail documents that they want to talk to you about. They definitely won't be calling you. Additionally, in this area, we provide free training and education. We go out and do speaking engagements with our director, Kelly Morris. She is a trained attorney as well. So she always is aware of the latest scams and fraud. The other thing I should share is all of our programs and services are offered in a minimum of 6 languages. So our booklets, our printed material, our volunteers, They all have the ability to appropriately communicate in our diverse county. So we're very pleased to be able to offer that as well. What the FAST program is, which stands for financial, what is it? Oh, I've gone blank, of course, but it's a strategic team and they meet once a month and it's a multidisciplinary team of volunteers. And we work closely, as all our programs do, with Adult Protective Services, with our Ombudsman program, with the District Attorney's Office, with forensic accountants, because if there is egregious fraud that has been perpetrated, we will get these cases offered up to us. And it's our multidisciplinary team, they look at the case and they decide what to do. For example, 2 years ago, we had a gentleman who was scammed by his granddaughter. She fled the state. She took over $800,000 worth of his assets. And so because she crossed state lines, we were able to get the FBI involved as well. We were able to get some restitution. Not everything came back, but they were able to get substantial money. And, you know, she is where she needs to be, incarcerated right now. So there are things that can be done. But the best thing is prevention. Because if you're not aware of what's happening out there, then you are more susceptible. And by the time you realize you've been scammed and you contact the police or you reach out to us, by that time it's gone offshore, it's been spent. And so really it is being aware of what's happening and staying up to date with some of our processes and booklets and newsletter information that we put out there. Preventative Mental Health Department. This is another area that we work closely with the community on. Maybe you are aware of the fact that one in four older adults are affected by what is considered mental illness, including depression and anxiety. And it's increasing and has increased, especially during COVID-19. The isolation was the most negative impact that could have happened, even for those in long-term care facilities, because they could not even leave their rooms. There was no congregate meals anymore. There was no socializing. They were just in their small rooms the entire time. So our ReConnect program is a program that was developed to empower older adults to sustain healthy and active lives. And these are individuals that are out in the community. They're still in their own apartments. They're still in their own homes, but their world has gotten smaller. Maybe they've lost some friends. Maybe family has moved away. Maybe they're no longer with their spouse. So they have challenges that have come up. They're not able to drive anymore. So what we're able to do with our case management services is do a needs assessment. We have a geropsychiatrist that helps with the screenings. We have referrals and linkages we put in place with other community providers. There's ongoing monitoring. There is individual counseling. There can be family service counseling. Then there's peer mentoring, where there will be other older adults that have been through the program who have successfully graduated. It's a 12-month long program. And there's also behavioral activation that takes place and support groups, and there's outings that they'll do. So for someone who is no longer able to drive, how do they know what transportation is out there? Well, we provide that training to them. Do you know that there's Go-Go Granny? Are you aware that there's the OCTA that you could be booking? So many different ways. Do they know how to, or are they comfortable using Uber or Lyft? These are all the types of things that can be taught. Then throughout the month, we have, again, offered in multiple languages, in multiple locations, and also virtually training. So maybe they need to learn how to use an iPad so that they can call family that is out of state and know how to use smart devices. Maybe they'd like beginning computer classes. Maybe they need English as a second language. Maybe they need balance and mobility exercise classes. So those are available as well. And it runs the gamut. And then before COVID, every Friday, there is a field trip. And so we'll hope to introduce that as things lighten up a little more in the next couple of months. People will be able to then utilize the skills using the transportation, gone online to look up where the field trip is active, able to know what senior centers are doing what, so they could get more involved with that community again. And so it really takes them places. They go to the Pacific Aquarium. They've gone to the Santa Ana Zoo. they've gone to the Bowers Museum. So there's all kinds of activities that really encourage people to build friendships and to get healthy and active in their community. So what volunteers or opportunities are available in ReConnect? We need peer mentors. We need support group leaders. So if that's something that interests you. And then for students that are coming up through the ranks and wanting to work in the older adult community, we have undergraduate internships and postgraduate for MSWIs and MFTIs. So there's really a place for everyone everywhere. We won't let you get away is what it falls down to as we whip through these. Then we have our friendly visitor program. A friendly visitor program are for frail and isolated adults that are still in their own homes, but they really aren't needing the in-depth ReConnect program, but they would like a friend, basically is what it is, someone who cares. And so we still do the needs assessment. We still provide referral and linkages. Our social workers still touch base with them and do the case management social work with these individuals that is necessary when it's necessary. But we're just looking for volunteers, someone who's going to be your buddy. You don't take them grocery shopping. You don't take them out on trips or anything. It's just a matter of chatting with them and being a reassurance call and building a friendship over the time. So we ask for a commitment of minimum of 6 months. It can end up being many years that you may have a great friendship with someone. And it is just a lovely, lovely opportunity to get to know someone else and have a new friend. We can always use a new friend. And so we've provided over 6,000 hours of service annually for our volunteers. We have 167 volunteers currently. But we don't even advertise this program out except for wanting volunteers because we are inundated with people who would love to have a friend. And so we have 100 seniors on our waiting list, which is devastating to us. But the point is they're not alone. We still have our staff and other volunteers that will call them, but they're not matched as their consistent friend that's going to be in touch with them. It sort of rotates through. So the opportunities are there to join the Friendly Visitor Program. If you're more comfortable just doing reassurance calls after you go through the training, I should say for all our programs as well, you'll have to go through a background check and a fingerprinting ID because we don't want to put you at risk and we don't want to put our community and clients at risk either. All of our staff members and our volunteers have to be vaccinated. And when you are interacting for now, part of the rules that we maintain still, if you're out in the community, is you must be masked. And also when things were tough, it was we were on the front step, they were in their house, the door was open or a screen door was there. So we maintained all that distancing because working in the older adult community, number one, safety is our number one. We want everyone safe. So the program I mentioned before, this is a new program that, of course, we thought it up and we started it and it launched 2 weeks before COVID hit back in 2020. So it was a little slower start than we were able to get done. But for many of us, navigating the aging process is difficult, especially if you don't know about any of our programs and services, which I did not with my aging parents. And my God, I would have loved to have known these programs were out there just for someone to talk to or to get the latest information or know I was dealing with issues if they came up in an appropriate way. So in recognizing that, Concierge Care Navigators was developed to support families or individuals who no longer have anyone involved in their care and are in that sort of middle range of comfort in their retirement or in their life. Many of our programs, a lot of our free programs, of course, serve the same purpose for underserved populations or individuals who don't have an ability to pay. But within this, this has RN, nurse case managers, who are there to provide in-home hospital and long-term care assessments. They will make up a care plan coordination. They help coordinate and they'll attend medical appointments. They're there for crisis intervention, for supporting family engagement and communications. And then there's medication management that happens by the registered nurse case manager. Many times you'll go on an appointment and you may see multiple doctors. And as you know, they don't always read the chart carefully to know what other prescribed medications you're already on. What the RN case manager can do is look at all this information and raise a red flag or say, are you aware they're on X, Y, and Z? And really take care of the situation. The greatest thing about this too is we develop proprietary software that allows it to be viewed in real time. So we have many clients whose families are in Virginia, Ohio, Texas, and they in real time can look up, oh, they just went to the doctor's appointment. This is what the doctor said. This is the new medication they're on. Oh, their next appointment is coming up at XYZ. I'll fly out for that. I can put that into my schedule and be able to be there for their next appointment. So it really is a unique opportunity. And I'm very pleased to say that it's serving a definite need in the community. And I just see it growing and growing. There isn't a volunteer component with this, but I felt it was important that you're aware that this program is out there. Then if you have questions, we have answers. Our answers resource guide has been around for many, 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 many years. We're in our 11th year. The last 2 years, it was a digital format because we weren't able to get the printing companies to print it and then distribute it because no one was out. Everybody was at home. So it's been digitally provided on our website, which is right there. You can go to www.coasc.org. And you'll be able to find the guide. You'll find all of the programs I've been talking about. It covers wonderful articles in it around healthcare, caregiving, housing, finance, and legals. In the very back of the document of the magazine and also the digital version are other nonprofit listings. So if you're needing a housing resource, or you were looking for food, or you were looking for other mental health services, you can look and it's got the resources there for you to be able to see. And I really think what's great about it in the article content are checklists. So as someone's being discharged from the hospital, what do you need to do at home to really prepare for them to come back and be comfortable and safe? So there's a checklist on that. There's a checklist on if you need a durable power of attorney. There's a checklist on earthquake safety. There's all these different things that we may not think of and we may not talk about it, but if we take care of it and then it's in a recognized place in the home, then everyone knows to go for that resource and it's not difficult.
Then we have about 3 minutes left.
Okay, that's good. We're getting really close here. Sorry. So then we have our Smile Makers program, and this is where we have great volunteer opportunities. And this grew out of our ombudsman program in recognizing those individuals who didn't have anyone involved in their care, as I mentioned. So we started the Smile Makers Holiday Gift Program. And literally we have the ombudsman find out those individuals that don't have anyone involved in their care. They get a wish list from them of 6 different items that they could choose from. We get their name, their age, the size they wear. And then those are turned into little angel gift tags, and those get adopted by individuals. So for the 2021 holiday project, we wrap during the 2 weeks in early December in donated office space. We turn into Santa's workshop from the Irvine Company. We did 4,923 gifts that got distributed to 287 long-term care facilities, and over 600 volunteers came through in that 2 week period of time to help wrap the gifts. Gave us all those lovely volunteer hours. So we are seeking individuals and corporations who want to adopt those angel gift tags. You can join us as a volunteer and help at our preliminary wrap cutting clinics, because we pre-cut all of the paper to fit the small, medium, and large boxes that gifts get placed in. We have bow making clinics, and you can also help us starting in mid-November in preparation for the workshop. One other thing I wanted to show, that during COVID-19, we developed the Smile Makers Station, connecting hearts and hands so that people, even though they were isolated still, they could touch through the gloves and you could feel the warmth of the person there. So this was wonderful. And we donated over 20 stations to facilities in Orange County and Riverside County. Other volunteer opportunities, yes, there is general office. Once all of the limitations have been listed up, you can always be an event volunteer. We have three key events: Pickleball Slam, Aging is Art, and an evening of comedy. Pickleball Slam, how many out there play pickleball? There has to be some of you. A lot of people are into this now. So we have one coming up on Cinco de Mayo in the evening at the tennis club at Newport Beach. We'd love to have you join us. Aging is Art. This is a wonderful where you can submit photographs of what does the aging process mean to you. We have two categories, professional prize package, amateur prize package. And so you could be registering now, and then you have up until May 31st to submit your photographs. Then isn't she gorgeous? I think she feels like she stepped out of Outlander or something, but this is like one of the photographs that were submitted. And once it's done, we have jurors who select the photographs, and it's exhibited at the Bowers Museum for 2 weeks and then for a month at the Newport Beach Central Library. We also have our evening of comedy that I mentioned, that you could volunteer as an event volunteer with us, or you could just attend it. So we do it under the stars outside at Newport Beach Renaissance Hotel. There's a live auction, golden opportunity drawing, all kinds of fun stuff. And our top comedian this year is Paul Reiser. We're very excited. And we get Fritz Coleman and also Francis DiLorenzo would be entertaining you for the night. So if you want to join us, save that date. It's October 1st. And if you have any questions, I can answer them now.
Well, Jamie, this is incredible. You've inspired me certainly with all of the excellent services. And I really love on the bottom of the slides how it says promoting the independence, health, and dignity of adults through compassion, education, and advocacy. And like you said, you couldn't do it without volunteers. So
no, we couldn't. Yeah. And thank you for the opportunity to share with you. And as I said, if you have further questions, you can email any of us at the council. Just go to the website and every page has the opportunity to fill in information or a question. And I appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, Jamie. Would it be possible for us to get a copy of the presentation? Because you went through so much information. I know our staff members would like to refer back to it.
Okay, sure. I'm happy. I'll send it to Meredith then.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you. And I'm also thinking of all the different volunteer opportunities you have with, you know, what's happened with COVID during the last 2 years, and people's work lives and work schedules have changed and maybe have a little more flexibility because more people will keep working from home, that they may be able to fit in some more volunteer opportunities, because I know this is something that touches many people's hearts. So thank you for bringing that information to us.
Thank you, Elaine. Good suggestion you made there.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll look forward to getting that presentation. So again, but thank you for your time today. Lots and lots of good information, which we'll be sharing. So we will be getting on with the rest of our meeting. You are welcome to stay and see and hear what we do, but we also understand time is precious. So if you need to get back, we understand that as well. But thank you again for being with us. Okay, we will now go on to public comments. At this time, members of the public may address the council regarding any items within the subject jurisdiction, provided that no action is taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by law. Are there any requests to speak?
I did not receive any prior to the start of the meeting via email. We do have a number of members attending. If you would like to speak during public comment, please raise your hand, or if you're calling in, you can use the *9 feature and I will unmute you. See none, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Jenna. So public comments is now closed and we are on to the action items. So the first one is AB 361, review and make findings required by government code subsection 54953E3. Is there a motion to recommend we continue virtual meetings due to the proclaimed state of the emergency arising from COVID-19? Meeting in person presents imminent risks to the health and safety of attendees, and the emergency continues to directly impact the ability of the members to meet safely in person.
Dave Sullivan, move it.
Okay, moved by Dave Sullivan, seconded by Elizabeth Busick. Any discussion? So Jenna, could you please take, was there a discussion question?
Well, I have a question. It's just a question. Since we do this for all of the subcommittees, how come it doesn't apply for the general committee?
Since we do what?
Vote for the AB 361 for the continuing the Zooms.
That's what we're doing right now. Each committee stands on its own.
Yeah, so that's all I was asking is, since each one does it on their own and we're all a member of this one, how come we couldn't say that we all agree for this one?
This is a separate meeting. This is a separate group.
Okay.
So this is a separate publicly noticed meeting. Okay. So Jenna, could you please take roll?
Charlene Ashendorf?
Yes.
Linda Barcelona?
No.
Denise Barnes? Elizabeth Busick?
Yes.
Amelia Castro?
Yes.
Meredith Chalemi?
Yes.
Susan Doback, I don't believe is present.
Yes, I am.
Oh, sorry, you are present, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Carol Downey?
Yes.
Elaine Genoway?
Aye.
Jean Hernandez? Carolyn Immon?
Aye.
Jim Levy? Nalita Mendoza? Crystal Miles?
Aye.
Carol Moore? Patty Mouton? Joni Nichols?
Yes. But I would like to hear, for those who are not in favor, could we hear the reasoning? Because maybe there's something I need to know that I'm not thinking about.
Let's finish the roll call.
That'll come under chair comments.
All right, I wrote to that individual privately. Thank you.
Bill Orland is not here. John Pointer is not here. Tony Rodella? Tony,
you're muted.
Said yes, and he said, and it's,
why does Tony's name say John Pointer?
I'll fix it.
Oh, okay.
Amina Sen Matthews?
Yes.
Barbara Sloat is not here. Sandy Stang?
Yes.
Dave Sullivan?
Yes.
Dave Tetzloff?
Yes.
Cynthia Thacker?
No.
Jeffrey Rodriguez not present. And Evelyn Velez, I don't believe is present. Motion carries, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so that motion passes. The next item is the county master calendar of events. And this is a calendar of events that is submitted to the Board of Supervisors for approval on their annual calendar. And I know if Erica would like to say anything more about that since she's more familiar with it. But I know there's at least one item we'd like to get on there. So, Erica?
Sure. Thank you so much, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. Just to go into a little bit more detail on what this item is, and this is actually something that all BCCs should be reviewing on an annual basis. We just kind of got away from it the last couple of years because there haven't really been a lot of community events. But now it's back on our radar, so it is something that we'll take a look at every year in preparation for the upcoming new fiscal year. So the calendar that we're referring to is fiscal year 22-23. So that'll be any events that we know are planned or going to happen in 2022 to 2023, July 1st. To June 30th, we want to make sure that we get on the county's master calendar that's approved by the Board of Supervisors. And that is so that SCAC members can participate in these events, wearing their SCAC hat, right? We're representing SCAC at these events or any county staff through the Office on Aging. And, you know, we don't know because we're trying to plan a year in advance. There may be community events that come up that aren't on the county's master calendar. It doesn't mean that we can't participate. It just means that we have to go through a separate approval process because it wasn't already captured on the master calendar. So, and then conversely, if we do have something on the county's master calendar, it doesn't mean that we're locked in, that we absolutely have to participate or make sure that we're present. It just will save us some time that, you know, if we are going to participate, at least it's already been approved in advance. So we have things like health fairs, senior expos that are sponsored by various cities. If you know of one that sort of happens, you know, on an annual basis in your city or through your senior center, we want to make sure that that gets added. We know that Supervisor Bartlett typically does a senior summit, you know, every year in her district around May. I don't think she's doing quite that large scale of an event this year, but we want to make sure that we capture it for next year so that if she does decide to do something that we've already got it on there.
So Erica, did we have any items to add at this time? I know you and I had talked about a Supervisor Bartlett Senior Summit. Would it be appropriate to add it now and just leave a blank, the date blank?
Yes, and we can actually just put a month and a year. So we'll put May of 2023 for the Senior Expo in South County. And other than that, I'm not aware of any other planned events unless SCAC knows of something in your particular city or community that we want to make sure we add.
Mm-hmm. So an example might be in Laguna Niguel, we have senior games, which are like senior Olympics, but that has not been planned yet. So we don't have anything, any dates to put on the calendar, but in the future, I could bring that up and we could add it to the calendar.
If you would like for anyone from SCAC to participate or help out with the event or anyone from the Office on Aging, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, great. So at this point, do we need to approve adding the South County Senior Summit to the calendar?
Yes.
Okay, so is there a motion to approve adding the South County Senior Summit for May of 2023 to the county master calendar?
I motion.
Okay, moved by Meredith, seconded by Carolyn Inman. Any discussion? Do we have to do a roll call vote on this?
Yes, please. I can go ahead and pick one. Charlene Ashendorf?
Yes.
Linda Barcelona?
Yes.
Denise Barnes? She's here. Elizabeth Busick?
Yes.
Amelia Castro?
Yes.
Meredith Tulemi?
Yes.
Susan Doback?
Yes.
Carol Downey?
Yes.
Elaine Genoway?
Yes.
Jean Hernandez, not present. Carolyn Inman?
Yes.
Jim Levy is not present. Nalita Mendoza, not present. Crystal Miles?
Yes.
Carol Moore, not present. Patty Mouton, not present. Joni Nichols?
Yes.
Phil Orland is not present. John Pointer, not present. Tony Rodella?
Aye.
Amina Sin Matthews?
Yes.
Barbara Sloat's not present. Sandy Stang?
Yes.
Dave Sullivan? Dave Tetzlaff?
Yes.
Cynthia Thacker?
Yes.
Jeffrey Rodriguez is not present and Evelyn Velez is not present. Motion carries, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Just trying to get to my calendar here for my neck for the next item. So that motion passes and we are now on to item 9 on our agenda under new business. So as we all remember, we recently at our last meeting approved the priorities that SCAC is going to forward to the Board of Supervisors. We will be presenting that to them at their, I believe it's the May 10th meeting. Is that correct, Erica? So it's at their May 10th meeting. And so if you could put that on your calendar, and it would be great if as many as possible could show up so that the Board of Supervisors see SCAC, see the faces, see the people who are providing this input. Also, if the standing committee chairs could please extend the invitation to the standing committee members who are not members of the main SCAC to be sure that they are included as well. But we'd like to have as many people present as possible. You don't need to stay for the whole board meeting, but just while we do that, present them with the priorities, because again, it is important for them to see who is advocating for seniors in Orange County. As we get closer to the date, we'll send out some more detailed information. But if you could put that on your calendar for Tuesday, May 10th, that would be appreciated. Okay, and then I'll kind of roll in my chair comments with the next item on the November 4th SCAC meeting. So Joni had asked the question about why we need to keep voting on AB 361. And because this does come up every month, I know we are getting to the time where we are going to be meeting in person, but that's just not right now. Erica and I have talked about this. A lot of it depends on the county health department and what they say. Also, we need to look at what is the makeup of our group. And since our group has many seniors, we will be one of the last ones to be meeting in person. We're anticipating and we're hopeful that our July meeting, starting in July, we'll be meeting in person. So this is our April meeting. We have our May meeting. We are dark in June. And then hopeful that maybe by July that the county health officer will be ready to allow seniors to be meeting in person. I do hope though, and a lot of this depends on the governor too, on how he changes any of these regulations. I mean, because in discussions with SCAC members, I know you enjoy having your standing committee meetings via Zoom, because that's a lot of travel for a lot of people to go to Santa Ana for the standing committee meetings. But it does benefit SCAC for us to have that those in-person connections and conversations at our monthly general meeting. So that's just to kind of give you an idea of the time frame. Yes, we know we want to be together, but we are a county committee, and also we need to consider our membership. So we are looking at possibly in July starting the monthly meeting for the full SCAC in person. But that means now Meredith needs to find senior centers that can accommodate that. See, one of the issues is we used to go to a different senior center every month for our newer members. We used to go to a different senior center around the county. Some of the senior centers that works out fine. Others, what it does, it impacts their congregate meal programs. So if they're having their luncheon and we're in that meeting room, where are they serving the lunches to the seniors? And we don't want to impact that. So I know Carolyn Inman has forwarded information. She's inquired at Irvine. And I'm glad for you providing the reason why January was always in Irvine. Well, that's because that's the only month that room is available. So that's why we've always had January at Irvine. We are looking for, and also note on your calendar, our November meeting will be November 4th, not November 11th. November 11th is the second Friday, but that is also Veterans Day, which is a county holiday. And it is also the day where we should all be pausing and taking pause to honor our veterans. So our meeting will be November 4th in November. And we're looking to have that in Laguna Niguel at the community center, not at the senior center because there's the congregate meal program, but at the community center. And then it's not a SCAC activity. I'll repeat this. It is not a SCAC activity, but many times at our November meeting, we stay after the meeting for a holiday lunch and just to have some time together. So when you block November 4th out on your calendar, make it a bigger block so you have time for the luncheon as well. Meredith.
I can email more questions as well, but I joined SCAC after the in-person meetings had been occurring. So do I use the senior center liaison list to reach out to try to book these senior center opportunities in person?
Well, I think there were some, let's talk, I think maybe you, I, and Erica should maybe have a conference call because there's some centers that traditionally had certain months. That's not written in stone. Also, what needs to be considered is parking. Some of the senior centers did not have adequate parking to accommodate their needs and then the additional cars from SCAC coming. So there's a few things we need to take a look at.
Thank you.
But I think maybe if we arrange a conference call on that. Okay. So any other questions on that as far as when we're going to be meeting again or where? Joni, did I answer your question?
Thank you very much. And Linda was kind enough to provide a written response too. So thank you.
Okay. All right.
I have a question, Dave Sullivan.
Yes.
You know, what we've done in the past to make it easier for staff, people in the various cities can check with their senior centers and give that information, assuming they're available. And I think it will be in Huntington Beach, for example, and you know, what dates may be available for the SCAC meeting when we go live.
Yeah, yeah. And the date, it has to be the second Friday of the month, except for November. But yeah, and I know in Huntington Beach, you have a wonderful facility for us to meet.
Yeah.
So after Erica, Meredith and I talk about if there's particular months that need to be in certain cities, then Meredith can then reach out to the members who are affiliated with those senior centers. But we only have a few more meetings for that would be July, August, September, October. That's four for the rest of this year. And it's good to get a head start on next year. And Carolyn has already contacted Irvine. So, okay.
All the other component is that, some of our speakers still want to come via Zoom. And so we would also have to check the senior center has a screen.
Yeah. Yeah. And they do. There's different senior centers have different AV capabilities. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a, you know, this transition time is going to be a little more, I don't want to say burdensome, but a little more work on your part, Meredith, as far as coordinating the center. And if the speaker is able to speak in person or needs to do it via Zoom, you know, it's been kind of a little advantageous in having speakers via Zoom because we've had some speakers that normally we could not have because they were too far away geographically. So that if we want to look at, you know, a little bright side of this, not meeting in person. Joni, you're muted.
Since I'm a newbie, is participation in the monthly meetings been improved because of Zoom versus what it was historically when you met in person?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. And the members liked it. Actually, what has improved when we met in person, and Elizabeth will tell you, was members turning in their monthly service hours because we were all there. We would just hand it in each month. Now we've got to remember to you know, download the form, fill it out, and then mail it.
That's one more other question. Should I ever expect a payment?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Because I've been sending them in and I'm waiting. Yeah.
Well, those aren't that's for your requirement for the Board of Supervisors. There's a different form for payment. And if you haven't filled that out, Jenna can get together with you after the meeting.
Remember, I think we're doing it every 6 months at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Any other questions, Joni? Okay. Your hand's still up. Okay. I didn't want to cut you off too soon. Okay, anything else? Any questions for me or what we just discussed? Okay, so we'll move on to Erica, Office on Aging update.
Hey, thank you so much. There seems to be so much information already. I don't mean to pile it on, so I just have a few updates for the Office on Aging. I think you've heard me mention before that the Office on Aging, a couple different county departments, actually, Social Services and the Healthcare Agency, have been working with our CEO Legislative Affairs Department on drafting a bill that supports person-centered services and being able to provide care coordination when a client requires a multidisciplinary approach. They may have an open adult protective services case, but they also might be receiving home delivered meals from one of our elderly nutrition providers. A public health nurse may also be working with them. So right now the system is very fragmented. And this is not just an Orange County problem. This is a statewide and national problem too, because there really isn't a legal mechanism for us to be able to share information as professionals working on common cases and to be able to coordinate services on behalf of the client. And so we have drafted a bill and Senator Pat Bates has sponsored it. It's called SB 1342. And it speaks to the ability to coordinate services for the older adult population and to be able to share information across the multidisciplinary treatment team on behalf of the client. And this will not only streamline services and reduce duplicated efforts for those working in the profession, but it's also beneficial for clients themselves and their caregivers, because it can be very confusing trying to navigate the system and trying to access all different types of services and all different access points, needing to repeat their story. Oftentimes we're collecting the same information and the same data. So it's very exciting. The bill has actually moved through the Human Services hearing this past week. It was unanimously approved. And so it will move into Judiciary Committee, where they will work out and refine some of the bill language around consent and privacy issues. But lots of enthusiasm and support around this bill. So we're very proud. I mean, anyone could have authored the bill. We just wanted to get it done. But we're very proud that Orange County was the one that initiated this and that we have the sponsorship from Pat Bates. So I'll continue to keep you posted on where that bill is through the cycle, but we're hoping that we have a lot of success with it this year. The next update I just wanted to make sure that SCAC was up to date on is that, as you know, Orange County received an allocation of ARPA funding from the California Department of Aging. Our allocation was almost $10 million, and it's a three-year allocation, so that funding can be used until September of 2024. With the three-year funding, we were able to issue emergency contracts for year one retroactively to our existing Older Americans Act providers. They have all been spending in good faith to meet the increased demand because of COVID. But the other requirement from the state is that the remainder of the funds for year two and three needed to go out to RFP. So we are out to bid right now for that funding. I believe that the RFP or the applications are due mid-May. Then we'll go through our evaluation cycle and contract negotiations, getting to the Board of Supervisors later in the summer, because those new contracts have to be in place by October 1st, and they'll be in effect for 2 years. Next update is I wanted to just let you know where we're at with our iPad distribution. That's been a big effort of SCAC. So of the 2,200 iPads, we have 2,042 that have been distributed to seniors throughout the county. And that leaves 158 slots. Those have been reserved. They're just pending paperwork and confirmation of appointments so that we can deliver those iPads. So it's been a very successful project. We think that we're on target to wrap this up by June. But it's been a really exciting thing to be in the office and see the seniors and their adult children coming to pick up their iPads. They're leaving, going back to their cars with smiles on their faces. And we're just getting a lot of really positive feedback. It's been a very rewarding project for us. So thank you for that. And then my last update real quick is just wanted to let you know, I think I did share that the Office on Aging was approved for 6 new positions. So our office is growing with the additional funding. We have 3 manager positions and 3 staff support positions. We are going through the due diligence of taking a look at active hiring lists that the other county departments have gone through the recruitment process already. So we have the opportunity to interview those candidates that have already been certified and on those hiring lists to see if they meet our needs. If we don't and we don't find anybody that's already on a hiring list, we can let HR know, thanks, but no thanks. We need to move forward with the recruitment process. So like I said, we're doing our due diligence and working with our HR department to fill those positions as quickly as possible. At the same time, you know, we're patient. I, as the director, really want to play the long game. I want people that have a passion for providing services to the older adult community. And I don't want to just fill the chair for the sake of filling a vacancy because we're desperate, right? I want to be patient and make sure that we have the right team members that are, passionate about this population and up for the challenge, because our office has been under a high pressure situation for the last couple of years. And I don't see that changing anytime soon. So we definitely need a lot of talent to join our team. So that's that. Any questions or
Erica?
Clarification?
Looks like Dave Tetzlaff had a question. Dave?
Could you repeat the bill that Senator Bates has submitted? Is it, what was it?
SB 1342.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Erica? Dave Sullivan? Yeah.
Hi, Dave.
Hi. Number one, you are doing a fantastic job. I really appreciate that. And my question is there a methodology when people pass on to get the iPads back? Because I assume we're probably not going to get the money for, you know, $2,000 every year.
There, that is part of the paperwork, not necessarily if they pass, but if there's no longer a need or they can no longer use the iPad, it is expected that they return it back to our office. I will say we have had a couple returned. People either just changed their mind or someone did pass on, and so the adult child returned the iPad back to us. So then we can have our IT department reset that and reallocate it back to someone that may have been on a waiting list.
Great, thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, any other questions for Erica? But again, I will echo what has already been said. You are doing a fantastic job. The seniors in Orange County are so fortunate to have your leadership in the Office on Aging. So thank you for what you do and for what your team does. It's fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you. You guys are awesome. You're so supportive.
Okay, we are now moving on to standing committee reports. Jean is not here, so I'll continue. And Evelyn's not here. Is there anyone to give the Senior Citizens Engagement Committee report? No? Okay, how about Wellbeing Reimagined? Meredith.
Filling in for Barbara, she asked me to share that the presenter on April 20th will be Nasira Cooley, who is a registered dietitian, and the topic will be Food in Your Brain. And then on May 18th, the presenter will be Natalie Viscosium, homeless coordinator for the city of Newport Beach, and she's going to talk about the new mobile crisis intervention program to address mental health issues in conjunction with Be Well OC.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you. Housing and transportation, Sandy.
Normally I'd have a report to give, but we didn't meet yesterday. We're meeting next
Thursday. And next Thursday, everyone's invited, and John Pointer will be giving us an update on California senior legislation information. And that would be April 14th at 9:30 a.m. So please join us if you can.
All right. Thank you, Sandy.
No problem.
Okay. On to item number 12, Senior Center Liaison, Cynthia.
I'm sorry. Hold on. I'm so sorry. I sent you an email. I'm still wanting to do that outreach. And the question I sent you was, and if you approve it, will be about the and now I just lost my train of thought, regarding the iPads, how the usage for the training, the Get Set Up program.
You got it, Cynthia, Get Set Up. Yep.
Yeah, Get Set Up, yeah. So you look at it, improve, and hopefully we can get that.
When
out.
Did you send it?
This morning.
Sorry, this morning I was working.
I know, but I'm just, like I said, I didn't expect an answer.
Okay.
I'm just telling you, that's where I'm at.
Sometimes that pesky thing called work and clients,
Well, and then I didn't get it to you on a timely manner, so.
Okay.
But anyway, that's what I want to do, because I do know that, like, that flyer, I hope everybody sent it out, because my senior center, he said he'd try to get on director, but it was an interesting speaker that a lot of the senior centers would have loved to hear. So I'm hoping that they all set that out. So,
okay. All righty. Well, I'll take a look at that question and get it back to you. So everybody, heads up, Cynthia is going to be sending you an email at to be liaising with your senior centers and asking them a question. And this is twofold. It's information that will be helpful to us, and it's also to cultivate that relationship between the senior center liaisons and the senior center directors. And remember, it's two-way communication. Not only are we providing information, but we also want to hear from them too, so we can get some input on items that we should be addressing.
So, thank you, Elaine.
Okay, thank you. Carolyn.
Yes, I didn't want to volunteer to give the whole report from the citizens engagement, because I wasn't prepared to do that. But there is one thing that's really important. And Cynthia, we'd like to work with you to contact the senior centers about the world. It's got like so many things. It's World Elder Abuse Awareness Month, Okay. And it's on June 10th. Is that right, Erica? I don't have it in front of me. I think it's June 10th. And we've been working with Lillian, and we have a whole lot of ideas that we would like to see what we can do to get people to at the senior centers to notice this, do something about it, participate, whatever. So Cynthia, maybe you and I could talk, or maybe Evelyn is probably going to call you.
That and Elaine, I'm sure, has to be involved. So
thank you. Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks, Carolyn. Okay, anything else under the senior center liaisons? Any questions for Cynthia? Okay, all right, thanks. Moving on to announcements by SCAC members. And I don't see on the agenda, so we'll tuck it into announcements. Meredith, did you have anything to say about any future presentations, any information to share or questions to ask the members? I don't mean to put you on the spot. I just noticed, that you weren't on there.
So. No worries. I have most of the presentations confirmed through the end of the year. So that's good news. And thank you so much, everyone, for responding when I ask you to lead the pledge and inspiration. I really appreciate that. So I think that we're in really good shape. The one area where I'm creating a panel and can use some help is intergenerational programs. I have two speakers now, and it would be great to have one more speaker talking about intergenerational programs. So I know that Logan and Miguel might be an opportunity with the tech tutoring program. Maybe there's things in other cities that would be lift us up with those ideas. So if you have something, please shoot it my way, and then I'll contact the potential speaker for the panel.
Okay. And also Meredith and Laguna Niguel, we're having the end of year celebration for the tech tutors coming up. So I'll invite you to that. You may want to come and actually see, see the seniors and the high school students together. Something I saw on social media, which kind of intrigued me, and I don't know if you have anyone or if anyone's heard about this, and actually it was a post by the by Nadia from Susie Q in Laguna Beach about a human library and where you check out people.
Oh my gosh.
So you check out people for, Dave's looking at me. No, you only check them out for, you only check them out for 30 minutes, but they're kind of, they each have like a title on what their story is about.
Oh my gosh.
And then, that's cool. You know, then you go sit somewhere and they tell you their story. It's kind of a living history. Ooh. So I don't know if you come across any of that in seeking speakers for presentations. I think that would be really interesting and maybe something that we could start in Orange County or, you know, start individually in cities, because
that's cool.
I'm all for that intergenerational communication and just learning from each other. Mm-hmm. And at Tech Tutor graduation, it's amazing. You think just the high school students are learning from the seniors, but the seniors are learning from the high school students too. Mm-hmm. So keep your eyes and ears open for that, everybody, the human library, so we can bring information back, because that would be really awesome. Cool. Okay, Dave Tetzlaff.
My wife says I check out all the time, so it's nothing new.
It's not that kind of checkout.
Oh, yeah. Now, John Pointer asked me to remind everybody that May 3rd is going to be Senior Rally Day. And it's going to be via Zoom. He says he will contact Erica with the information. Registration starts April 15th. So mark your calendars for May 3rd for Senior Rally Day.
Okay, great, Dave. Thank you. That's something that we should all be participating in. So, and we have a number of members of the senior legislature.
And like I said, it is going to be via Zoom, so there's no need to travel up to Sacramento this year.
Yeah, that'll be good. Okay, thanks, Dave. Charlene.
I hope I can do a brag for my Costa Mesa Senior Center, because with the help of our volunteers during the transition, we had 13 volunteers who led classes while we were transitioning, and they provided over 850 hours of leadership in programming, which also included 10,000 bags of pantry safe meals that they put together on Fridays. So I'm just really proud of, since we were talking about volunteers anyway, it was really great statistics.
No, that's great that you should brag about that. Thanks for sharing that with us. That's fantastic. And it's wonderful to see how the different communities are working together to support the seniors. So thank you for sharing. Linda. You're muted.
Oh, I just wanted to make an announcement. A former member of our council here, she was only a member for a short time, but some of you may remember her, Rhonda Shader, is running for state senate in the 34th state senate district. So I asked her if she would like me to make that announcement, and I thought you might all like to know that. And if you're in that area, maybe support her.
Thank you, Linda.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, anyone else? Any other announcements or brags or questions that you want people to be thinking about? Tony.
Yes. Next Thursday, happily, I will be 83 years old.
Fantastic.
I'd have known I was going to live this long. I'd have taken better care of my body.
I don't know. I see you on Facebook. It looks like you're having a good time in life, Tony. So it's good. Well, happy birthday. Okay. Linda, do you have something else? Oh, okay. All righty. Anyone else before we adjourn? Okay. So our next meeting. Okay, I'm looking at this. Erica, are we going to have a special meeting in between? Because our next meeting is May 13th and today's April 8th.
Yes, we will.
Okay. Yes,
we will. Yeah, so we'll have to get with each other and figure out a date to do that.
Okay, but if you could all make a point, those special meetings are quick, but we have to have it. Hopefully we'll just have to do it a couple more times. Okay, so our next meeting where we actually have an agenda and a program and a presentation is on May 13th, and it's Mental Health Awareness Talk Saves Lives for Seniors. And then we have standing committee meetings, Senior Citizens Engagement on April 18th, Housing and Transportation on April 14th, and Wellbeing Reimagined on the 20th. So, but please, you know, watch in your inboxes for that notice of the special meeting, which will be brief. Okay. So with that, we are adjourned. Everyone have a great weekend, and thank you for all that you're doing for the seniors in Orange County.